We have a very special treat here in the studio today to have three members of the Vagina Monologues. And if you could please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Jenny Lee.
And I'm Jill Mizokami.
I'm Grace Kim.
Great. And if you could just maybe start off by just letting the listeners know a little bit about what your experience was like of doing this program. How did you change going into it, and then as a result, did something change at all, or what was your experience like? We could.
I think it was a real growing experience. When I first went into it, this one time my friend Greg was just joking around, and he was pretending to be part of the Vagina Monologues, and he yelled, "My vagina is an angry white woman." And when I laughed, because that's so true as far as how the Vagina Monologues are perceived, I think, in our society and in the general stream of media. And there are just lots of performances of the Vagina Monologues that focus more on how women are angry, or how women, you know, are pissed off or want to be, they're misunderstood. But I think people often forget that the Vagina Monologues is a lot more about making women aware that being a woman and having a vagina is an international issue. It's a big deal, not just in America, but it's so huge, you know. Like, our monologue focused on the comfort women, which is mostly in Asia, but we also touched on how that still occurs, that sexual slavery still occurs internationally. And there was another monologue that touched on, you know, the women of Juarez and the women in Afghanistan. And I mean, it's just so much more than women being angry about something or women being misunderstood, because there's so much that Americans and, you know, we don't know about, because we don't read the paper anymore, or even if we do read the paper, it's completely jaded. So, I mean, that's something that I definitely took out of the Vagina Monologues.
It's really interesting, because I really appreciated the performance that you did. I was lucky enough to get up there and get a ticket to get in, because it was sold out, wasn't it? Almost every night, I think every night, yeah. It was sold out. And so maybe the rest of you could just add in what you felt about your experience, or anything about your experience, or also mentioning that you added on your own dialogue or monologue, I guess.
Well, I definitely agree with Grace on this, that I think that the Vagina Monologues, they definitely serve an important purpose in a community in terms of introducing issues that people don't usually think about and people don't address, because they're not really seen as important. Talking about domestic violence, we're talking about just women and respect, but also how these issues don't just happen in California, they don't just happen in the United States, they don't just happen in families. And I think it serves a really good purpose by introducing those issues. But also, I through this experience, I have learned that there's so much more to be researched and so much more to be introduced as issues, because we don't really see a lot of what is going on. And the comfort women, the pieces that we have added to Eve Ensler's monologue, we've done that because we felt like the monologue itself introduced a topic, but that's all it did. And to scrape the surface of such an important and such a crucial part of history and part of current events is something that needs to be elaborated on. So that's why we wrote individual pieces from different perspectives of being a comfort woman at the time, of being somebody in current times trying to figure out who the comfort women were, like representing society basically, and then also a comfort woman who still exists today, who is in her 80s or 90s, who is still trying to figure out her respect in terms of what happened in her past. So I think that it is really important that we introduce these issues, but also go much, much deeper into these issues and find out and discover other issues too, because there are so many people not being heard. There are so many stories that aren't being heard and that aren't being recognized as important. So
exactly, because the violence against women in the military is certainly something that continues to this day, and
right.
certainly even an aspect that I brought up earlier in the program was the they're actually building a huge brothel in Germany to accommodate the 40,000 women that they're importing to serve the World Cup event that's
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, while it isn't necessarily a war going on, it is an event where a lot of, unfortunately, what the research that I found is that even though hopefully a predominant number of the women that will be there are there by choice, unfortunately choice is a very complicated issue, and that individuals are trafficked in when prostitution is legalized, which it was made in Germany. It was just made legal in 2002.
Right.
So it's something that is ongoing. I know Janet Karpinski is the was a woman who is being, you know, denounced, and she's being, you know, challenged because she comes forward and has gone to the human rights organizations and talked about the horrific rapes that are happening to the women in the military, female U.S. citizens in the military, and how they're dying. Some of them were dying of dehydration. This is being challenged. But she basically says, come here and see for yourself. See how bad it is. See what it's like. And I know in the original article, she talked about a woman who was raped because she used the urinal late at night. And so that women aren't, they're fearful to use the urinal late at night. So that there's so many levels of this, that, as you yeah. mentioned, that continue, that are in desperate need to be exposed. So this, the comfort women are a symbolic of so much more.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I... did not know about that at all, and I feel like the hearing about the comfort women for the first time through Eve Ensler, I was just so speechless by the fact that, like, I didn't learn this in school, and just hearing what you just told us right now, that's the reason why we need to learn about what happened in World War II, because that's what exactly happened right now. History is repeating itself. Mm-hmm. And through this whole process, I felt with every performance that Grace and Jill and I, like, have a mission to continue passing on these messages. And just recently, we did a performance at Lyrical Union, and I feel like we touch a lot of people just based on the people that came up to me, and I don't know if anyone came up to you guys.
Yeah.
But I also did my individual piece in New York, and I asked at the New Yorkian Poets Cafe. I slammed with my friend David Scott, and I asked people, do they know, have you guys ever heard about comfort women? And I only got like two people who rose their hands, and I was like, wow, well, let me tell you about this. And it also touched a lot of people, and they told me the same thing, that they never heard about it. And I just felt really good just being there and passing on that message over there.
So is it a possibility that you could do the piece for our listeners today? Could you perform it for us?
Mine?
Because some of it was a combination, and
yeah. Well, I mean, like,
can you recreate it for us here in the studio?
We could do the
live radio.
The original pieces, probably. I don't know about
our. You mean our pieces?
Yeah, like,
yeah, I think so. Because Eve Ensler's piece is hard to remember because we do it in separate parts, and it's kind of complicated the way we separated it into our roles. But
okay. Well, however you want to do it. I think any portion of it would be really meaningful for our listeners.
Okay.
You want to go, Joe?
Well, before we go, we should introduce who our characters are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I am basically, I would say, myself, a descendant of the comfort women, and I'm just learning about what's going on. And I'm expressing it.
And I'm going to be playing, this is Grace, by the way. I'm going to be playing a comfort woman who is currently living, like, in the present, just dealing with what had happened to her in the past and just wanting that apology from the Japanese government. And
okay. And I'm Jill. And I'm going to be reading from a perspective of a comfort woman during the time of war and during the time of enslavement. So are we going to do this? All right. Alone. I'm not alone. You're not alone, they say. They scream this. They force this. They rape this down my throat. I'll never be alone. The day I am alone is the day I'm hurled 6 moist feet under. And that day lives in me every second dividing the time between when the door closes and when it reopens for the 20th time this morning. The 200th time I will lay here as beef, beaten red, tender, red, torn, red, numb. My straw legs you position plastic for poison. Then you pay the fee, you do the unseen, and laugh about it with every 4-course meal you have until you work up the appetite for more dessert. And I'm begging you, please, find me salvage. Please. You reply, spit in my face, spit these words in my face. Genjutsu o mitsumeyo, kendyoku karawa no gararanai. Face the reality. You can't escape this power. And I'm bleeding, but the doctor, he doesn't come with cloth bandages. He comes with rubber gloves and hand grenades. Venomous cannon. Thrust, beat, thrust, beat this cancerous virus in me. By Doku. Every second my heart beats to its false existence. Every second my heart beats, screaming for suicide. It just can't find the rope. Every second my heart beats through these ravaged, old, so old, 14-year-old breasts. 14-year-old fingers. Mara, jionsai desu demo shinderu no to onajio. 14 years old, I'm dead. 3 breaths away, girls lie in the same exact position. 3 feet to my right, 3 feet to my left. 6 moist feet under, screaming the same white noise. Watashi tachi datte ningen nan desu, onna nan desu, nande sore ga wakaranai no? We are human. We are women. Can't you understand? We are human. We are women. Can't you understand? A slap in the face tells me no and orders me to turn around. A man I'll never know. A million men I'll never know. They come. They come. They leave. They come. They come. They leave. Leave this chamber, this frozen hole that's been dug into with pitchforks and human nails. My grave, where my skin tears thin. And my eyes long for the rope.
They beat her to death. A standard punishment for not consenting, but this one was different. 'Cause they shred her worn out flesh into pieces, then boiled the life out of it in bubbling water, then served it to us as beef broth soup. Its red frothy steaminess accompanied by gleaming smiles. Here, he said. You're hungry, aren't you? Eat. So with hungry souls, we let its warmth spill down our dried out throats, coarse from holding in screams and cries. But in that moment, almost joyful, with the refreshing oasis our mouths were swimming in. So we were fooled into cannibalism the same way we were fooled out of our childhoods, and he laughed at our foolishness, at our unknowingness, at our complete hopelessness. For once, we were nourished, but by a sister, another innocent victim of war circumstance, by the consumption of ourselves. Yet in these 50 years of silence, I realize we still consume ourselves every day. Our wounds healed, but our souls shattered under their weight, and we swallow our han, our never-ending woe. Let it stir in the empty places where our wombs once were. Yet as I watch these new generations of daughters, sisters, women, I find in myself an ability to hope that if I do not hear the words today, you might hear them tomorrow. The words that will restore my faith, that will let me be at peace for my sisters, my daughters, and our future.
My eyes burn with the image my mind conceived as I read the words of my computer screen of how she reclaimed her Korean name and denounced the Japanese government, of how they took her out of her stall and into the woods and brought her back with her body skewered from her vagina to her mouth, skewered from her vagina to her mouth like a pig ready for roasting. I cannot fully describe to you how I felt inside in that moment. But I have to admit, for a while, I didn't let him touch me, despite the fact that I knew he loved me, that I knew he would never, ever touch me or hurt me in that way. I just couldn't erase the memory of her body being slaughtered, being raped over and over and over again. With each thrust, she was stripped of her innocence, stripped of her individuality, of her sanity, of her womanhood. They thrusted her with everything that they had and stripped her of everything that she was, leaving me feeling ashamed to embrace my body, my womanhood. And I am angry because this was never taught to me in school. I had to look it up on the internet myself to learn what happened. Angry because the Japanese government permitted for these women to be raped and in turn raped me of a history I should have known. Frustrated that they had been silenced for so long, and her unwritten words have become my spoken words, because I'm going to tell the world that the word comfort women is a euphemism, sugar-coated to be pleasing to your ears, because the truth is hard for you to swallow, because comfort did not exist in the lives of these women. And if anyone uncovered the 12-letter words of comfort women, they will discover the true definition: sex slaves. And this not only happened in Japan, but Korea, the Philippines, Vietnam, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, China, Thailand, Indonesia, and the list goes on. And the numbers of raped women escalates: 1,000, 50,000, 80,000, 200,000, not including the thousands that have never been documented, only forgotten. And the numbers add up to a million. That the total times they have all been raped is equivalent to how many ants that exist within the Earth's crust. And this is not just history. It's present-day current events, because this is still happening all over the world, still in the Philippines, Sudan, Iraq, Africa, Congo, and the list once again goes on. And it's not just women. It's children, too. Yes, little girls and little boys at the age of 5 are being kidnapped, sold by their family and villages to become sex slaves, prisoners and casualties of war, of inhumanity. I only hope that these stories didn't just take a visit into your minds, but will exist and live there for all time. That a passion will ignite within your hearts for you to take action in passing on these stories, to cause this ongoing reaction of passing, of passing, of passing it on. I only pray that you will continue in passing.
In passing.
In passing.
In passing it on.
Wow. Thank you very much. What a powerful pieces. And these are pieces that you all wrote.
Yeah.
Incredible. Wow. Even when I was when it was being performed, I thought Eve Ensler had written that, and I was thinking, I don't remember this in the last time I saw this. But what an amazing performance. Thank you so much. Really moving. Any other comments from anyone? I just completely blown away by that. It was beautifully written and also beautifully performed. Thank you.
Hi, this is Elaine, and I want to thank these young women for speaking out against the horrors of male violence against women. We have to keep on speaking out against this and never be silent. Robin Morgan, in her book, The Demon Lover, said that breaking the silence is the first powerful act of an oppressed woman. And so I'm happy that I'm not in my 50s, and I'm so happy that young women are taking up the fight to help all of us women. We are all women without adjectives, and we've been falsely divided by the patriarchy against Mexican women, American women, Asian women, black women, rich women, poor women, fat women, skinny women, old women, young women, Protestant women, Jewish women, etc. The divisions go on and on, but we're all women, and if we hurt each other or become hurt, we have to try to forgive each other because we've all been raised in a madhouse run by cruel men.
I was just going to say thank you. I mean, like, it's really encouraging to see so much support coming from the community, and that, like, it's just scary for us, like, researching this, knowing that it's not just a gender problem, mm-hmm. but it's an institutionalized thing. Mm-hmm. And not just, you know, the comfort women, but the fact that it's hidden from us in our educations and the way that we're brought up. And, I mean, when we did Lyrical Union, it was because their theme was who killed ethnic studies at the university or within the UC system. And it just seemed entirely appropriate that there are so many Asian American female students who, like, who are descendants of this, and we never know it because, you know, there's so many institutionalized reasons that we can't have ethnic studies, and or excuses, I guess, would be a better word for it, that we can't have ethnic studies, that we can't discuss this in classes, that we can't learn about it in high school, that we can't learn about all these things that come from governments and are becoming legalized. And, you know, it's just scary that there is, you know, actually something that's called an institutionalized brothel. I mean, that phrase in itself is just horrific in its sheer existence. So just knowing that, even though, like, we have to start from these grassroots efforts, just knowing that we're getting the word out there is really encouraging.
And I hope that this is another step going towards helping the women in getting an apology from the Japanese government. And I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for this space and for this opportunity to just really taking a really wide effort in, like, reaching more people. Thank you.
I also want to thank you, of course, because this is only the first step. Like it has been said earlier today, that it is only the beginning. This is like the ground in which we can build upon. You know, like, we can't really do anything unless we have these avenues of expressing what is going on and expressing all of these injustices that are happening, you know. And this is only the beginning. This is the only thing that we can start with right now, is speaking on it, and that there's so much more to be done. But thank you so much for giving us this space to do it, because otherwise we wouldn't be heard. We wouldn't be heard publicly. Just anybody who has given the spaces for people to speak on things like this, it's the first step that we can take.
Well, this is what free radio is all about. It's what community radio is all about. And so that's why we're here. So, and I feel grateful that I had an opportunity to hear you perform the piece too. So Yeah.
Jenny, hi, this is Yolanda. I wanted to ask you about one of the things that called my attention. When you talked about what it was like for you when you to research, right? And when that image, and when it comes up on the screen, and how that's, in a sense, a certain, how were you affected by that? Not only that, but how do you get through that? How is it that, because it seems like it's such a difficult, first of all, one of the things that I can see from your performance is that you speak to, in a way, a continued violence, right? Because the denial in itself and the silence around it is itself a form of violence, right? And so how do you get through that, you know, to read through the story? I was wondering if you could speak to that.
Well, when I first went onto this website and I read that part, it was a lot more detailed and horrific than I had spoke about. And I have never had anything that, when I read it, that made me cry, like, intensely when I pictured it in my head, this woman being skewered. And there were other things, like the men would put grenades in the women and blow them up. I would have to say that I would, when performing this piece, I tried to not imagine it. As I know, as bad as that sounds, but it's just for me just to compose myself and just saying the words out, sometimes still, like, really hurts me a lot to know that this happened to my ancestors. And I question what other inhumane things that the men did to the women. But I chose that situation just to show and tell people that inhumane things did happen, and I couldn't even fathom how that would. I don't know what was going on inside their minds, how animalistic the men became, but it was just to tell everyone that these horrific acts do happen, and probably a lot more horrible things happen to the women too that we don't know about because it's not being told to us. And since I'm on the mic, I just hope that all the listeners out there become inspired in some way and pass on these messages, because of course we can't do it on our own.
I know the research that I've done with Gabriela, that's a Filipino organization that works with women in the sex industry around the military bases in the Philippines. Some of the stories that came out of there affected me in a similar way. I mean, it was just shocking when you see, you feel like you have to read it over again, like you think, no, that couldn't have happened, or they don't make the women do that. And it had to do with sex shows with women inserting knives into their vaginas for men who are just being entertained by watching it and doing, you know, inserting all kinds of things into them. Anyway, so it's in a way unspeakable, but that's the point, is that we do need to speak out about it, because our silence is certainly not helping us. So
this is Catherine, and I want to thank all three of you so much for your performance, which is not a performance, it's truth. And I want to say that erasure is a primary weapon of patriarchy. It's not just that we are silent, it is that we are actively, every minute of every day, being erased. And so we have to fight against that. We have to always work to speak out, as hard as it is. And it is hard. It takes a lot of courage to speak out. We simply must continue to do it everywhere we can. And I want to thank Anne so much for providing this space for women to speak. Thank you all.
And do you have any final things that you'd like to share with the audience, or any other things? We could certainly open the lines up if people were interested. They could call into the station and maybe ask you a question if they had one. The number here in the station is 427-3772. So if you have a comment, the area code is 831. So, any other things that you'd like to talk about in terms of what you plan on doing? Because, I mean, if you're doing some spoken word poetry, I mean, that was a beautiful spoken word poetry piece, and I hope that you continue to perform it, because there's a lot of venue for that and a lot of interest, and
I think all three of us share a similar sentiment of, like, extreme frustration after Vagina Monologues, because we were kind of like, well, we're done, and where do we go from here? And we're just so upset that nobody knew about it, and sort of at a loss for how we were supposed to go about doing something about it, and just feeling really small, I think, in that we wanted to create these huge changes, and, you know, it's just hard, and you just feel really inadequate in a lot of situations. But recently on campus, there was an event where Stan Tookie Williams' family came and answered some questions and just spoke about their experience. And his son, Trayvon Williams, spoke about how Stan Tookie Williams was able to create these incredible changes from a 4x9 prison cell on death row. And just the power that we have as students with college degrees and similar goals, what the possibilities are as far as what changes we can create. And that for me was incredibly inspiring. And just knowing that we have so much agency that we never exercise. And so I'm hopefully going to be organizing an Asian Pacific Islander spoken word event, open mic, hopefully with a feature artist. So that's something that will be happening probably at the end of May. And that's just one thing, but there will probably be more events. And I'm sure that Jill and Jenny are similar with me and as far as being inspired to go and do something more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the Asian Dub Foundation, I know, is a group in the Bay Area. I think they're in the Bay Area still. But anyway, they do a lot of interesting rap and stuff, and it could be.
Yeah.
I'm always blown away by Youth Speaks. I don't know if you know that organization.
Yeah, we've contacted Youth Speaks.
Yeah, so. Because that would be great to have you perform some this piece for them too, mm-hmm. or they have a lot of events happening a lot. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Good. You're in touch with them.
Thanks.
I just want to say that even though we had this opportunity to talk about such a horrific and very important situation, this is not just. I don't want to make the comfort women a hot topic of like what to talk about right now and what to research, because there's a lot of other things that's going on in the world that we don't know about, and I just hope listeners would just maybe look into all the other things and pass on what else is going on. And I do spoken word, and I'm going to stretch my piece a little bit longer and put more information and perform it when Jill and Grace aren't around, just to pass on that message. And this sounds like I don't have a website, but I do have a MySpace with like my poetry, and you could check it out at MySpace/JENNIILE. And I don't like doing that, but I have pieces on there. I wrote, there's a snippet about Stan Tookie Williams, and there's a whole piece about the women, that I wrote about the women in the red light district in the Philippines that people could listen to. And my purpose with just doing performance poetry or spoken word is just to take the stories that I've heard and the things that I've learned and just continue on passing that message. And that's like my mantra of telling people the truth of what's happening.
I think that's great. And I don't think it's, you know, no big deal. It's J-E-N-N-I-I-L-E, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then MySpace. So if you want to find out more about what you're doing, your performances and places that you'll be, this is, it's great. It's a wonderful opportunity. And it's, this is the way a lot of youth are communicating today, is through spoken word. And so I think that having it within that venue is really powerful and makes it, you know, just something that can go really far. You know, hopefully there'll be more women like yourself who are speaking out about it, because that's some of that realm tends to be male dominated as well, within the spoken word movement. But I know Youth Speaks does an enormous amount of work with women, especially women of color. I know they've worked, they work in Oakland with and do wonderful workshops for the women, and the result is phenomenal always. I'm always blown away when I go to the Grand Slam in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Did you go this year?
No.
Yeah, it was held in the for the first time in the Opera House in San Francisco. 3,000 seats sold out. I was so blown away. I mean, to hear kids do poetry, I mean, it's like, okay, this is it. This is, you know, this is where I want to be. because it's a hope for me as a an aging old biddy. No, I'll say that just as a joke, kind of. But it's you know, I really, it's very heartening and just so powerful to know that there is a massive movement to give voice back to the youth, because the adults need to hear from you. Mm-hmm. And that's where I find it to be just so inspiring and so reassuring that there is such concern, intention, there is such an ability to articulate who they are and what their backgrounds and what their life has taught them. It's just, you know, it isn't where I was when I was 14, so it's very hopeful. So, again, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
If there's anything else, you know, feel free. We have just about 7 more minutes, and then stay tuned for Democracy mm-hmm. Now! Here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Is there anything else? Oh, we do have a caller, so maybe somebody would like to join in the conversation. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
There's 30 states in the union where girls cannot get an abortion. There are pharmacies all over California that need to be blacklisted that will not even sell birth control. I don't know if these young women know.
They probably do. No, I mean, this is a...
No, a lot of them don't. They're really taking this feminist thing for granted. They haven't been educated. You can't assume that what's in your mind is in a young person's mind. You can't. They don't know this is happening. And
no,
they come
no,
to
but
Santa
it's...
Santa Cruz to preach peace, to do this history thing on women. Well, that's all really nice. Why don't you take it to Alabama? Why don't you take it to Ohio, to places where they're not aware? Everyone comes to Santa Cruz to preach peace. It's like, and throw the Hare Krishna thing around. It's like, well, this place already knows. Why are you here? Why aren't you, you know, why aren't you in the Philippines?
Actually, there is a movement of young women who are driving young women to get an abortion in South Dakota, actually. And if you'd like to sign up to be a driver, you too could be a driver if you want to help women in South Dakota get an abortion. Do you have a comment?
Do
you
want to say anything?
Yeah. I do. I just want to say, like earlier, this is a great opportunity. We were asked, and we go to UC Santa Cruz. So I feel this is our first step in spreading that awareness. And you could continue, and you could go to Alabama and tell the women there.
We've known for 25 years.
Instead of...
Why aren't you at Harvard? Why aren't you at, you know, at Alabama State? Or how about Jacksonville? Places that are really, really...
Okay. I just wanted to say something really quickly. I really do appreciate that you're... reminding us that there are issues at home that we need to discuss and address. I completely agree. The abortion laws and birth control laws in the United States are extremely flawed, I feel. And I totally agree with you. At the same time, I do think that it's important to keep a wider perspective of women's issues. Yes, we do realize that there are tons of issues in the United States that affect women that are so horrific. But at the same time, we need to realize also that this isn't just happening in the United States. It's an international issue, like I said earlier. And it's important to recognize that within the realm of knowing that we need to focus back at home at times also. So thank you for reminding us all of that.
And this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and this is the Feminist Radio Program. I want to just finish up by thanking you so much. I appreciate your being here. I appreciate your continuing to speak out on this issue and other issues, and that there are many silences and things that we need to address in terms of male violence, I believe, and that even the idea of genderizing the violence has been a huge stumbling point, I think. I know I do education on this all the time, and what is so profound, really, is that we don't often call it male violence. We call it violence. And this is a way to really shadow and kind of do a lot of smoke and mirrors with what's really going on. And I appreciate how a lot of your pieces were, announcing and cutting through that to speak out about this incredible, horrific reality. And thank you so much. Thanks so much for being on Free Radio.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We're going to, did you have a quick comment? Did you?
Yes. I wanted to thank the three women for speaking out against male violence against women. And Sonia Johnson wrote that there is no adjective to even convey the monstrous enormity of the cruelty that men have done towards women all over the world and continue to do so. It's so everywhere.